Stav, Abby and Matt, the B105 Breakfast Show.
Hey, podcasters.
Hey, we're back, podcasters.
Thank you for being with us.
What's your highlight from today, Matt?
Oh, there's so many.
No, come on, off the top of your head. You talked about your Kokoda trail.
Yeah, there was a bit of chat about doing Kokoda, hearing about your son and the words that he's now using.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like Muhammad.
Muhammad?
Yeah, Muhammad. He was the soccer player.
I didn't even know his name.
No.
I just know he's an idiot.
He's not an idiot. He made a little bit of a boo-boo. And he thanks someone during his acceptance speech. Mm-hmm. And he should have left this person out.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, he definitely should have left him out a long time ago. But we will get to that. It's a big one today. Here we go. Let's roll the podcast.
The B105 Breakfast Show with Stav, Abby and Matt.
Sydney is still in shock, grappling to come to terms with a senseless killing spree here at Bondi Junction in the city's east.
I don't think it's Sydney in shock. I think all of Australia is in shock. I can't stop crying about it. Just to think that people were just going to a shopping centre.
Yeah.
You know, we all go to a Westfield and I just think you grab your keys, you go to get, you know, a few supplies. You don't even really say goodbye to your loved one at home. You're like, I'm just going to pop off to the shop. I'll be home in 5 minutes or whatever it was. Go and get a coffee or do something. And you don't come home. Mm. Completely shocking to know that six people have lost their lives, five women, one man. The security guard was a refugee for us. It was his first day on the job.
Yeah.
You know, and we have a colleague here who is, it was his sister-in-law, Ash, who lost her life, and she was the one who had her baby who was stabbed through a pram, apparently. Mm. And you would never pass your baby over to anyone to hold. And then she passed her baby over to two brothers, and this is them being interviewed after. They were just at the shops.
The baby got stabbed, and the mum got stabbed, and the mum came over with the baby and threw it at me, and this hole in the baby looked pretty bad.
And how were you able to help out?
Just
holding the baby and trying to compress the baby, and same with the mother, trying to compress the blood from stopping and calling ambulance and police.
What did you use to help stop the blood?
Just from the shock. Just kept yelling out to get some clothes, get some shirts and just help us to compress and stop the babies from bleeding.
You could see in their faces how much shock they were
still in.
Still
in shock, yeah.
Yeah, and a Saturday afternoon, how busy it would be to see how many people would have to flee. Mm. The shopping centre said about 4:30 on Sunday that people can come and get their cars.
Oh, yeah.
Because people had to flee and people have said, I'm sorry, I don't think I can.
Mm.
It's it sounds like a horror movie, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I can't imagine what it would have been like. And you saw that photo of that amazing dad who was there with his kids and he grabbed a couple of eye masks and covered their eyes so they didn't have to see as they were evacuating.
No one expects it in Australia, and there's people that were hiding in the shops and behind, you know, corridors and stuff like that. And you could see in the security cameras, they didn't know if it was a gun, and they didn't actually know what was happening.
They just saw people running.
Yeah.
There's a witness who works in the centre and was there at the time. Shawnee, hi.
Hi, good morning.
You work there. Did you really understand what was going on at the time?
Yeah, it's, you know, thinking back, it's just so confusing because this doesn't happen in broad daylight, in Bondi Junction, you know, on a beautiful autumn afternoon. It's just, everything was just so shocking and confusing. And I think it took me, it's still taking me time to even fathom that it actually happened. Mm. It's still shocking. And we're all still processing.
And what did you end up doing? Did you hide?
Yeah, so I was on break. Coincidentally, I was just texting a few friends and then I saw people running. And at first I thought, oh, they're late, they're running to something. And then I saw fear in people's eyes and lots more people run. Mm. And I joined them and I turned to someone. I said, what's happening? And one guy was like, I don't know. And then another girl said to me, well, someone's been stabbed.
Right.
And again, just hearing that, it was just, you can't fathom that. And it happened so quickly, I ran down the escalator back to my workplace and all the doors were locked. So a lot of people in the centre and the shops were catching wind that there was a danger in the centre. And I looked through the hole of the door and I said to my colleague, I said, let me in. And in that moment, I turned around and within 20 metres of me was the attacker with a knife.
Oh, my God.
And he looked at me, he glanced at me for a moment, but he just kept walking straight ahead. He was he seemed like he was intent on just getting somewhere and walking straight ahead.
So he walked past you?
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah. 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 And, you know, knowing the extent of what happened and what he had just done now really chills my blood. Mm. And I'm so grateful and thankful that, you know, he had no interest in, I don't know why, I don't know. You know, it's hard to fathom, but he had the knife in his hand. I remember glancing down that knife and he was just walking past, and before I knew it, he was gone. And I went into the shops, and within 5 minutes of us being locked into the shops, we heard a few gunshots. And I feel that's when the danger really escalated and everybody truly understood that this was really serious.
And I guess at that point as well, for a lot of people that were hiding and didn't know what was happening, to hear the gunshots, you would have thought that it had probably escalated. Did anything come over the speakers, or was there any indication of people being told to shut the shops?
Not until after the gunshots.
Right.
So after the gunshots, that's when the emergency evacuation alarm was sounding.
Hmm.
And that's when we were all, because after the gunshots, we all went into the back rooms with customers and hid.
Mm.
And it was then when we heard the emergency evacuation alarm. And even then we were cautious on whether we should exit because danger was still present. And the man had just walked past our store maybe 5 minutes ago. So it took us a moment to realize it was okay. We were lucky in that the exit of the shopping center was right next to our store.
Mm.
So we all gathered together and left together safely.
I mean, it obviously has been shut now. We were just talking about people not wanting to go back and, you know, get their cars, and how are you feeling about returning to work?
Well, I was actually supposed to be working today, but the centre is obviously still closed.
Yeah.
I've been speaking to a few colleagues, and just the thought of returning it's a bit scary.
Yeah.
And I don't know how it's going to feel going back there, knowing what happened.
Mm.
I know that I didn't want to work today, and I wouldn't have worked even if the shopping centre was open.
No, I think that's fair enough.
Yeah, going to the shops and then not coming home, I just can't get my head around it.
I can't express enough how busy it was, and it was the first day of school holidays. And I remember remarking to a colleague, it's so busy. Yeah. And I think that was what was so confusing, even hearing all of these events happen. It's like, well, surely not. Surely not. Surely this isn't happening.
Yeah.
The ripple effect from this, which is hard too, is now conversations we've all got to have with our children, because they'll hear about it.
Yep.
I know my 10-year-old son broached it with me last night and asked questions. So, you know, we're all going to have that chat now, because you also want to...
How do you give the reassurance, though?
You want to tell the kids that they're going to be safe, and then you also want to explain it, but there's no real explanation as to why this person did what they did. Mm. But we're just, we're glad you're safe, Shawnee, and you know, for all those family who've lost people, you know.
I mean, there's 12.
There's no words, really, is there?
There's 12 still in hospital at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if all of those... we'll be okay, but we're
what a remarkable woman in her dying moments, to her first thought is to save her baby.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, as a doctor as well, you know, that she would have known the extents and known how serious it was for her to be up and, you know, scream help, help, and pass the baby over to someone. You just go, she obviously had awareness of what was going on.
Shawnee, thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you.
And we appreciate you coming on with us. It's Stav, Abby and Matt.
The B105 Breakfast Show with Stav, Abby and Matt.
Maddie's going the distance, raising lots of money. He's gonna walk, Dakota Trail in PNG. Yeah.
You're back.
Yeah, and I lost a bet.
Yeah, what was the bet? I saw that text message.
We had a pool on if you'd make it or not.
How much did you lose?
50.
50 grand?
Yeah, I was going to call you and say, can you just trip?
Well, if I don't know,
someone
that was
someone had to get helicoptered out. That's what I was thinking.
So it is exactly how people say it is
life-changing.
Walking the Kokoda Trail in PNG. It is a life-changing experience. And once you walk it, and we had an amazing, amazing leader, Matt, who was our head trekker, who knew the knowledge of the place and the war and everything that went on. And when you walk it and you know how tough it is, and we've got creature comforts as we go, to think what those men must have gone through fighting that war would have been horrendous.
Is that what's life-changing about it, to know the history of it and how difficult it is, or just the scenery and pushing yourself to the limit?
It's pushing yourself to the limit, and you truly appreciate what they did, you know. And people got sick throughout ours. Day two, gastro started going through
the
group.
You were the only, because I was messaging your wife, because I wanted to make sure you're back, because I didn't know if I had to get a replacement or something
for
today.
Yeah, we didn't know if, like, last week the holidays would be trials.
Yeah, so we didn't know. So I just wanted to message to see how you went. She said that you were the only one that didn't get gastro. And I was like, wow, he can't get COVID. Can't get gastro.
I was sipping on hand sanitizer. No, I was covering myself in it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, day two, gastro started going through the group, and each day someone would wake up with it.
Yeah.
From the water?
We're not sure. Could have been from something else. Towards the end, trench foot came through, and that is literally the skin on your feet are rotting.
Yep.
But what it is, they at Brigade Hill, you do a service where, you know, we all read poems from diggers who were there, and you're with the locals from Papua New Guinea, and you sing the Australian National Anthem. They sing their National Anthem, and all the porters, they're all descendants of the Fuzzy Wuzzy Angels, you know, the locals who carried out sick and injured people. Well, I know for me and for everyone there, it's impossible not to cry when you're doing it, because you're standing in the zone, like where men were standing being shot at.
Mm. Young men who had really no qualifications or experience or any, like you said, resources.
And that's what they say, you know, these were men who were never meant to fight over there. They were just sent there because all of our other troops were out overseas in other places. And, you know, there was one poem in particular that was talking about a mother being back at home, wondering where her son was, you know, how he was feeling. And I could never imagine, after that ceremony, I walked for like 4 hours after that, and I could just think to myself, if that was my son, you know, like if that was Ethan, 22.
Mm-hmm. And you can't message him, say I love you, mate.
Yeah, you know, and every night laying in bed for hours as a parent, just wondering, where are they? What are they doing? You know, and I know Anzac Day is next week, and I really do encourage everyone to really get behind that, because that's one thing I took away from it, is just how lucky we are to have this amazing country and this freedom and everything we have, because people literally went over and gave up their lives. And you go through the cemetery there as well, and there's just all the gravestones and everything. But it really does also push your body to the limit. One guy did get helicoptered out.
Did he?
Was it the guy that we thought?
I don't want to hang too much crap on him, but there was one guy.
Well, your father-in-law said that there was one guy that he knew that was a bit slower than him at walking.
Yes.
And he doesn't know how much practice he was doing.
He didn't train enough, I would say. He did get helicoptered out on day three.
Right.
And there's a medic that goes with us there. So he helicoptered him out because he was getting chest pains.
Yeah.
And is that the... Is that the time, like on day three, is it like, hey, mate, there's no other room going up further this mountain the helicopter's going to be able to do, you have to make a decision now?
There's spots where you go along where you can only get the helicopter in and out. And the thing is, they had to make the decision because the next day was a huge day. Yeah. It was 23 kilometres we walked, but in elevation, we walked up 1.2 kilometres.
Yeah, right.
And I've got lots of video and photos that I'll put up, but it just does not explain how steep it is. At one point, we were climbing up a waterfall. Water's running down this waterfall, and you're climbing up it, and it's like a 200-meter drop.
Yeah, right.
Like, the terrain is insane, and wearing boots, and our porters who are carrying all of our stuff are bare feet.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
And in thongs.
Yeah. We have forgotten the most important question.
What's the most?
Who was your pee buddy?
Oh, well, in fact, it's funny. I learned you don't need that.
Oh.
So we Koshy's the one that told you? Maybe he's just got an obsession with that. They're saying you should spot someone else's to check their wee to make sure that they're not dehydrated. Yeah. But
no, well, the other thing is I didn't realise there's a risk of overhydrating.
Yeah. They have that,
But we are going to, when we come back, I want Matt to come on, who was the head trekker. We're going to chat to him because I knew you wouldn't believe me when I tell you this part of the story.
Okay.
And I've got lots of stories I want to share throughout the week because there is so much stuff that happened that I was not expecting.
Right.
Gruesome and exciting and fun.
Mm-hmm.
But there is one hill that you do about halfway through the trek and it's a race.
Oh.
Race to the top.
Okay.
Did you win? You won. You better won. You didn't, did you? That was an 18-year-old girl. She won.
Wow. Nope. It's like you were there.
That's what I mean. Now, I was at the back of the pack.
Uh-huh.
Didn't realise that the race had started. And they go, race is on. And I hooked it.
Yeah.
So I will let Matt tell you the winner.
Well, you obviously won. And I want to say, I want you to say thank you because I did the training with you up at Mount Cutha.
Yeah, she wouldn't have made it without her.
So we'll chat to Maddie up next here at B105. Stand by.
Maddie's going the distance, raising lots of money. He's gonna walk, Dakota Trail in PNG. Yeah.
Yeah, you just flew back last night.
Yes.
After a few beers.
Yeah, we did have a couple of beers in PNG afterward in Port Moresby, which was nice. It was a life-changing experience, and I would encourage anyone who's ever thought about doing it, hands down, do it. You won't regret it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was to raise money for the Winter Shelter, which is a great charity in Toowoomba. And I want to say thank you to everyone who donated. The Lord Alfred Hotel put in some money, a grand, just before I left. Thank you to them. The whole group in total were at $95,000.
You smashed your record. Well done.
So, I mean, I don't want to be greedy, but if we can get to 100, that would be amazing. But everyone who has put in, Compare the Market, Village Motors, thank you to everyone who has put in. It's really appreciated. It's going to go a long way.
You said that there was a competition.
There was a race.
There was a race. I'm guessing if we're getting Matt on, who is the Kokoda group leader, we've got good results.
I don't know.
Okay, all right. Matt, good
morning. I can't remember.
Yeah, fair enough.
How many times have you done Kokoda?
That was number 29.
Wow. Show off. And how did Matty do?
Oh, look, he was pretty impressive. He was there at the start and there at the finish, so that's all we ask. A couple of little things happened in between, but, you know, not quite sure whether we should share them on air, but no, he did all right.
Okay, and the big question, he did say there was a race to the top of a hill, would you say, Matty, or a mountain?
Look, it's certainly a serious hill. It's our last big hill, and I've climbed up Imida Ridge, which was the furthest that the Australian withdrew back to.
Mm-hmm.
And we always offer the trekkers at some stage, if they'd like to have a bit of a race up the hill against one of our porters named Willie, and Willie's a gun. He can certainly seriously move. So we offered that to Matty, you know, during the week, whether he'd like to have a bit of a run up that hill against Willie, and he said, nah, not a hope in hell, not going to do that.
He's got sciatica,
No, can't do it. So that's fine. So then the night before we're at camp, and Willie was cutting, doing some carving, and accidentally his knife slipped and cut himself in the leg, which required 3 stitches.
Oh.
Funnily enough, the next day when I offered the race up the hill to Matty, I'm on. I'm definitely there. Because Willie's out.
Yeah, Willie's out.
Willie's out.
So who did he have to race with? Just the other people?
Yeah, just the other trekkers. So if we put up sort of another sort of 3 or 4 trekkers who all might have a go.
It's good to know, though. Anytime Willie's out, Matty's going.
Matty's talking himself up, going for the record, he reckons.
Yeah, here we go. And can we just say, I mean, the porters are obviously carrying all of his equipment as they're running up this hill,
don't
right?
Don't talk it down.
Yeah. Mate, they're carrying 2 packs for Matty, 1 pack for his hairspray and 1 pack for his gear.
Nice one, Matt. Nice one.
I love it. So what was the result? He obviously decided that he was going to race?
Yeah, he decided he was going to race. Yeah. So we follow up and Matt's at the top of the hill and he's claimed the win. He said, I was the first one up, beat everyone. So then I was talking to the other trekkers he was racing against, which were some lady trekkers as well too, who were amazing and phenomenal. Mm. And the, one of them was in front of Matt and turned around and Matt said, do you want to have a rest? Matt's gone, nah, and pushed straight past her and took off.
Was this the 18-year-old?
No. And claimed the victory.
No. Okay. In my defence, she wanted to rest and I did not want to. And Matt, you cheeky bugger, you said to me, race is on. And at that point, I was at the back of the group with my father-in-law doing the good thing, keeping my inheritance high. And he goes, it started. So I had like a 200 metre. They had a 200 metre head start on me already.
Yeah, might bring that back to maybe 5 metres.
Yeah. Well, it's what we always like to do. It was probably a nice win, but it was still a win.
Hey,
I like that. You know how you see on YouTube and all that, those wonderful moments where a jogger falls over and the person coming second stops and helps them over the finish line?
No way, Matthew.
No, he's a Queenslander.
Not Matty A.
No. But what I can say, so it was Penny, right, who was behind me. And the whole time I was thinking, I wish she would just stop. I wish she would stop. But Matt, you were incredible, mate. And Aurora Adventures is the company that you guys work for. And the knowledge Matt has and explaining along the way everything that's going on was just incredible and such a great experience. So I can't thank you enough for everything that you did too, mate.
Mate, no problems. It was an absolute pleasure and you were an absolute trooper, Matt. I'd walk with you again anytime.
Well, one thing that Matt was really excited about as well is his fitness. I mean, I don't know. I know that that's not what the diggers were thinking about
but in today's
world, he was like, you know what? I've done all this training. Yeah. I've gone really hard. I've even like ration packs and stuff like that. And he wanted to know how much weight he's lost. I'm sure this is what you focus on as well, Matt. So did you weigh yourself before?
Yeah. So when
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, they weigh us when we get on the plane to go to Kokoda.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I came in at 80.8 before I got on the plane.
Right. And we've just, Abby brought in some scales and she had him stand on them just before the break.
80.8. And how many beers did you have?
Am I still 80.8?
Oh, no. I mean, I want to, you're 79.4.
Hey, that's a win. Yeah.
The rest is muscle, mate.
Yeah.
It's muscle. Yeah.
But you feed as well, Matty. That's the thing. There's a lot of food on the track, isn't there?
Absolutely. The ration packs last more than enough food to last the 24 hours with the amount of calories you're burning each day.
Yeah.
God, imagine if you put on, mate.
That's what I was worried about.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
No, you look fit. Keep it up.
Oh, that's it. You're selling that.
I didn't even believe that.
Good on you, mate. Appreciate it, buddy. Nice to chat.
No worries, mate. Have a great day.
See you.
The B105 Breakfast Show with Stav, Abby and Matt.
School holidays are over and the kids go back to school. And I actually miss them. I like hanging out with the kids. I just hang out with three cool dudes and my husband. but hanging out with my 12-year-old, you know when they're growing up, and I know you've gone through this, Matt, but it's just I am irrelevant now because it's all about his mates and he's messing his mates all the time. And I'm like, that's amazing that you guys have so much to talk about, but not anything in depth.
No, they're
like boys. The stuff that they send to each other. And I had this big hoo-ha, you're not getting Snapchat. Guess who's got Snapchat?
Oh, I love it when a foot goes down. Comes up pretty quick, doesn't it?
It does. Everyone's got it. Anyway, we had a compromise. He could delete YouTube, but then it's stupid because you can just get YouTube on Snapchat. Anyway, but this is the thing though, Matt, and I wanted to test you guys because I reckon you'll get 100% of these. But I said to him, we're talking about something, and I said, I'll put in a good word for you. And he goes, what? I said, I'll put in a good word for you. He goes, what does that mean? I was like, what do you mean? What does it mean? Like, put in a good word. But I realise that my sayings don't make any sense to him.
No, you're a boomer to him.
I know.
Yeah.
But none of his sayings make sense to me.
Because you're a boomer to him.
So I started trying to say a few of them and he's like, Mum.
No, please don't. Don't ruin them.
It's good when you occasionally get one though and you're like, yeah, I'm in.
I always find too, when a kid doesn't understand something, trying to over explain it always helps.
Yeah. See, starting it off with back in my day.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, you just keep saying the saying again. All right. So I thought I would just test you guys to see.
On their sayings.
Yeah. Okay. So you guys know what giat means.
Yeah.
Which we talked about before and you've learned, which is.
I can't remember now.
Oh, such a boomer. You've even forgot.
It is a bottom.
Yeah. Right.
If she's got
a girl, you're. Yeah. Yeah. So they said giat. And I was like, don't say that about your mum. And in my days, that wasn't a nice thing. So well done to you.
Well, that's what's strange. You know, no one ever wanted that. And then Kim Kardashian started the whole, like, a big bum is all the rage now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if there's any kids that are driving to school at the moment with their parents, they're going to be really disgusted if I get any of these wrong. Okay. They'll be like, no, that's not it. So you feel, if you want to add 131060, you're quite welcome.
Do you know what the GYAT stands for?
Yeah, girl, your ass
is tight.
Thick.
T-H-I-C-C.
Yeah.
Stop it, Fema. What are you writing it to people? What are you doing?
He writes it to me.
Saying, Esther, man, I miss you.
Yeah.
Girl, you thick.
Riz, we talked about Riz before.
Know that one?
Yeah. You know that one? What is it?
It's short for charisma.
Uh-huh. Well done. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they'll go charisma. What's that?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But these are a few of them, and I tried to, once I was said that we're having tacos for dinner, and he said, W in the chat. And I was like, what? W in the chat.
Is that like a win? Mm. Like, winning, that's great.
Yeah, so where do you get it from? How does it come about?
In the chat.
Gaming?
Yeah.
Fortnite?
Yeah. So if you're playing, or not even just Fortnite, if you're playing anything and people are viewing you, you're like, hey, W's in the chat. Come on, boys, put me W's in the chat. Mm. So they will just write WWW, which is win, 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 win.
Ah.
Apparently when they go out now, too, they say when we dropping. When they go out, they say when we dropping. Because when Fortnite, you drop into the game.
So that's when you're going. Okay.
Who says that stuff?
People.
I haven't heard that one.
Haven't heard that one.
I don't want to.
Try it at home.
No, please don't give me one that I'm going to go have a team and it'll be like, because the other time I was like, is he going to do the gritty, and he's like, that's so old, Mum. I was like, yeah, of course, it's so old. Why would I do that? It's a celebration thing.
Do you guys remember BRB and GTG? Or G2G? Right.
Yeah. I don't know what G2G is.
Got to go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm. What about sold the bread?
Sold the bread?
Sold the bread.
Oh, sell the bread.
Sold the bread.
Well, I remember it used to be, let's get the bread.
Yeah.
And that was like, get the cash.
Oh, no. Sold the bread.
Sold the bread. I am an apprentice baker.
It's Brumby's new slogan.
Yeah.
We've been doing it all wrong. We want to sell the bread.
Sold the bread.
I thought you'd get this.
I sold the bread. I can't believe you believe that. I tricked you. Good. I tricked you. I sold the bread.
No, it's when you fail. So if someone's accidentally or intentionally done something wrong and it's had a negative outcome, so even if like they'll drop the ball or something, they'll go, you sold the bread.
Oh, okay. Did not know that.
Just making crap up at this stage.
You're not happy with these, are you?
No.
But this is what I'm trying to you know.
You're going to have to start talking like this.
Well, I have. I've started to. And sometimes he was like, I'm not really happy with something. And I'll go, Siebes.
Siebes.
Yeah.
Can you spell that for me?
Use it in a sentence.
Yeah.
C-E-B-S?
Siebes?
S-E-E-B-S.
Siebes.
It's just if something sucks, it's Siebes.
Right, like how we would say, spewing.
Yes, there you go.
Siebes.
Yeah. And he'd be like, what? Who's spewing? What do you mean?
Is it short for something?
No. I don't know.
Okay. Siebes. I don't feel that one's taken off.
Use them all in a sentence today and be really cool with your kids.
Wow.
The B105 Breakfast Show with Stav, Abby and Matt.
Well, everyone around Australia and the world is saying a big just stop, Bluey, to Bluey. He's gone too far and he's breaking. Well,
She
with the show.
Okay.
But as it always happens, you're watching it with your kids. It's funny. It's quaint. It's twee. And then it does something right at the end that gets you in the feels. And this was a very special episode this week because it dropped on Disney globally all at the same time. And it was the longest ever episode at 28 minutes. And it all had to do, they did a bit of subterfuge because it looked like it was all going to be about a wedding, the wedding of Dad's brother. But it turned out that the big story was, brace yourselves, kids, that they put a for sale sign out the front of the house.
Well, the prices have gone crazy since
COVID. Yeah, but where
are
they going to?
Why would you not cash in?
That is the question. And
it's Paddo, right? We've all decided that it's Paddo, Red Hill.
Mm-hmm. Around that area.
Okay,
around where I live.
And they live up right up on the hill, don't they?
Yeah, it's good.
So, la-di-da, who cares?
I know what you're saying. They've made it big in America, so they're pissing off to LA to make the most of their fame.
Or do they want a country change?
You know, have the dogs gone to the farm?
Oh, well, hey.
I don't know.
It's getting everyone
you said
in,
it
the
was
feels,
in the fields. So. That would make me pretty sad.
That'd be the most devastating ending.
I'd start watching, to be honest, just to be able to see where it's going.
Oh, dearie me. And they've done a really good job, as they always have. They managed to capture the zeitgeist, don't they? And they get everyone talking about the show because they did put the property up on for sale. And they do have a number on the sign. And if you call the sign, you get the actual dog real estate agent message. And this is what he says.
Hi there. You've called Bucky Dunstan, expert in real estate. Can't get to the phone right now because I'm busy selling houses. Yeah? What I do. Anyway, leave a message and I'll get back to you pronto, which I believe means quick.
Now, that's actually the voice of none other than Rove McManus. I thought it sounded like Bob Hawke.
It kind of does, doesn't it?
It does. And then, not to miss a trick, Domain have actually brought out a TikTok of a real estate agent, stay with me on this one, who wanted the contract for the house. Now, you got to remember the house, isn't
it? It's hard to get listings.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
That's
it
what
is.
They well, real estate say. It's not about selling the house. It's about trying to get people to list with you.
Right.
I've got to put on the voice if I want to be a real estate agent.
It is a nice house and it is in a nice location. The problem I've got with it is it's 2D.
It's what?
Yeah.
Oh, 2D.
Yeah.
I do like the ad for it though because they've gone, you know, it's 3-bedroom, 4-ish. Do you know what I mean? If you want to make the storage cupboard the extra bedroom. Yeah.
Yeah. What's it going for? What do they want for it?
They haven't listed a price, Sneaky.
No, one of those.
Yeah. Mm. 800 square metres, though, in Red Hill or The Gap. That's your area. They're not saying where it actually is.
Big, you know. Giant toilet in the backyard, too.
Yeah. So this is the real estate calling the fake real estate about how he missed out on the fake listing, even though he's a real estate agent.
He lost the Hill property.
Oh, my God.
They leave a message and I'll get back to you pronto, which I believe means quick.
Bucky, Darcy, call me.
What do you think of Bucky Dunstan?
Bucky's a dog, okay?
Bucky hasn't done very many transactions, so I'm surprised that they picked an agent who hasn't done very much.
Yeah. It's clever.
That is really clever.
It's clever. But apparently the episode is amazing and all the adults are crying by the end of it.
Is it, like, when you said it, was it a season finale, not the last?
Well, they just talked that if they're selling the house that it could be bringing the show to a close.
Oh, I really want them to move to another place in Brisbane.
Where, like,
Come our way? Right next to Carindale, you know?
If they sold there for that size house, they'll probably be Ascot bound, wouldn't they?
They're kind of relatable. Do we really want them to be Ascot mums?
No, we don't. Well, we've got a whole new episode.
The B105 Breakfast Show with Stav, Abby and Matt.
Open wide for some soccer!
Pierna derecha, directo al arco! Gol!
Giggle again at something that went viral. Now, this went viral back in 2017, but there is, you know, I love the internet when they decide, wait a minute, we want an update. Mm. So everyone was trying to find an update and they were replaying it even on The Bounce last night. Right. I'm trying to find out, which is the AFL show, of where he is now. And I get nervous during thank you speeches. I don't know about you guys, but I do get nervous because I think there's always someone who's left out.
Yep, always forget someone.
Or you're kind of like, oh, should have you not led with your wife and thanked her? Or, you know, you've left someone and it's just, don't do it.
Taking back once it's done too.
Yeah.
You always just say, and you know, I want to thank everyone who's helped me get here. You know who you are.
When they start listing it, you go, why are you doing it? If you can't.
You either list them all or you list none. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah.
Was it Snoop Dogg that thanked himself?
Yeah. I want to thank me for doing the hard work. Yeah,
great. Perfect. Yeah. And maybe he should have done that because there is a South African footballer, Mohamed Anas, and he was like, I'm a footballer. This is what God has given me, the gift of it. And he was very excited as he was playing a game and he got 2 goals. Amazing. I think he won when you get man of the match.
Yeah.
And they give you a big trophy and they've interviewed him. But he's done something opposite when he should have left someone out, but he didn't. He decided to say them and everyone was like, oh, you can't come back from that.
Right.
This is who he decided to thank after the match.
Okay.
Thank you very much for this, for giving me this. And I appreciate my fans also, my wife and my girlfriend. My wife. Yeah, sorry to say. I'm so sorry, my wife. Lizzo, I love you so much. Aya. I love you so much from my heart, ne? So must keep on supporting me. And thanks for coming to the game.
Oh, God.
What? Did he say what?
Oh, God.
Wait, this is it again. He thanked his who?
my wife and my girlfriend. I mean my wife. Yeah, sorry to say. I'm so sorry, my wife. Lizzo.
Oh, God.
He's so sorry to his wife? Or well, he's so sorry to his wife?
I'm sorry to say.
He's come back out. He tried to excuse it by saying that everyone in his family knows that he calls his daughter his girlfriend. Everyone's like, what?
That doesn't
matter. That is the worst cover-up story of all time.
You know, my girlfriend, my daughter, because she's so
English
cute.
Is my second language.
Yeah.
Did he have a side
Is this
chip?
Why they're trying to find him now?
He's always denied it.
Right.
He's still playing soccer. He had to leave one team because they decided that he was cursed. Mm-hmm. And they're like, they're saying that he was just bad luck and always losing. Oh, okay. So then he had, but he's still playing it. And he apparently is still with his wife. Now he does thank his wife after every match, and he thinks his wife and his two kids, and he's very specific about that.
I see what he did. You know what he did? He married the other one. So he clears it both with one.
He doesn't say wives.
Yeah. No, but they'd know.
You can't. Like, that is a full slip. That's just.
Listen to the. It's the.
The panic?
It's in the after.
Mm.
So it's one thing to. You slip up, but it's your reaction after.
My wife and my girlfriend. I mean, my wife. Yeah, sorry to say. I'm so sorry, my wife. Lizzo.
The B105 Breakfast Show with Stav, Abby and Matt.
Alpha Bucks tomorrow, guys. It'll be the 16th of April, a Tuesday. Here are three answers. We play Alpha Bucks live on the air at 8 o'clock for $10,000.
Your letter is C, and some of your answers are cheese, Carrie Bradshaw, and coconut. You put the lime in the coconut, you shake it all about. Coconut. It's a coconut song.
I've never heard the coconut
You put the lime in the coconut, you shake it all about. You put a lime in the coconut.
Why do you put a lime in it?
Makes a coconut water limey.
Mm-hmm. Where's that from?
It's a Calypso song. It's famous.
Mm. Calypso like the ice block?
No, Calypso like the music.
I do like it. I know
Calypso, they're good. Do you do the watermelon or Calypso? Sorry. Yeah. Do you like the watermelon or which one do you like?
What's the red and yellow one?
Yeah, I thought that was a watermelon pineapple or something.
I think that's mango something.
No.
I'm thinking of Wee Spa.
Yeah, you're thinking of Wee Spa.
Which is also a very fine ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got the mango and then the coconut.
Pretty sure Esther bought them for the kids when we went to the football.
Yeah, Eden's a big Calypso fan.
Yeah.
I used to like the ice cream sandwich.
Mm. Mm. Well, actually, here's a conversation we were having on the Kokoda Trek. Mm. Food, because we were eating ration packs.
Yeah.
Food was very high chat.
Oh, yeah.
And we discussed our favourite ice creams. And a Maxi Bon came up. And then the discussion around which end of a Maxi Bon is the handle. Is it the biscuity part or is it the chocolatey part?
It's the biscuity part.
What do you mean the biscuity? Where's the chocolatey part?
So
the ice cream.
One end is like an ice cream sandwich and the other end is ice cream.
Like a magnum.
That's, like magnum.
Half a magnum, half an ice cream sandwich stuck together.
Oh,
it's
is
Maxi
it?
Bon. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought the Maxi Bon was just ice cream with the... Well, it's the biscuit.
Correct.
Mm.
There was one psychopath who said that they eat the other end first.
Mm.
So we medevaced them out and said, get away, loser. Yeah.
You know what? They were just doing it for the reaction. I think they're doing it for a reaction. It's like I saw someone doing it and I was like, no, that's not it. They're getting a hot dog. There's a hot dog special that you can get from the servo.
Yeah, I'm in.
$11 for a drink and a hot dog. But this person was eating it like that and you're
like corn.
You're trying to do that to get a reaction and you successfully got it from me, you monster. Yeah. Get out.
I did have to. I had one on the holidays and I had to use cutlery.
Cutlery on
no,
a hot
you
dog.
Didn't.
I did because it was a chili
You're
dog,
dick.
And it was loaded, and it was chili.
Then
all
get
over
a napkin.
I would have lost half of it.
So would you eat it with a knife and fork?
Yeah.
Did you cut it up?
Like cut it bit by bit.
Or did you eat it and then get a fork and scoop up the remnants? Because that I can respect.
No, I cut it. Ate.
He ate it like he would a steak.
Like a steak. It was loaded.
Anyway.
Right.
Did you get my photo? I know you were busy doing the Kokoda Trail, so you didn't get a reaction. Did you see the photo of South Australian petrol prices?
No.
Freaking disgusting. Like, we pay way too much in Queensland.
Yeah.
When did you, what group did you send it? Individually?
On the breakfast chat. And it's just like, come on.
How far back? Maybe way that back. One didn't come through. Was it when I was away?
It was just before. You were at the airport. You were.
Oh, no, sorry. I did miss that. 181 for unleaded diesel, 190.
You know, I was driving.
That's low, right?
Mm.
It was 210 for diesel. Yeah, 210. And what did they have? 100. That's ridiculous.
Diesel 191. I completely missed that.
Well,
I'm
really,
so
it was when I left. It was 187.
Mm. Well, I was driving in Brisbane. I was driving Southside near Nathan Stadium, going back way there. And I passed maybe four petrol stations, and it started at 220 and it ended up at 180. And you just think, how can it be? What have you got in your fuel that makes it more expensive? Gold.
No, a bit of BS. That's what it is. All right. See you fine people tomorrow, hey?
Yep.
Bye. Au revoir.
Toodle-oo.
Stav, Abby and Matt, the B105 Breakfast Show.